Before we get into this episode, we have a quick favor to ask you. If you love our show, please scroll down to the review section of your favorite podcast platform and leave us a 5-star rating. If you have a few more seconds, please also leave us a review telling us what you like most about our show. We read every single one of these and we appreciate them so much. This will also help us grow and get into the ears of those who love true crime and food as much as you do. Thanks and enjoy the episode.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
You're listening to Extra Cheese by your friends at Dietetics After Dark.
Tomorrow, why not pick up several packages of the best tasting pasteurized processed cheese?
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Becca. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good as well. It's a beautiful Sunday.
It is. So sunny. Even under this blanket.
Yeah, Becca's fully recording in her blanket fort.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out my audio and make it sound a little bit better.
I think it sounds great.
Thank you.
All right. So today I actually have two stories for you.
Ooh.
One's just a little quick one that I thought was pretty funny. And then one is fascinating. And it's building off our episode on cultured meat.
Amazing.
Before I tell you the first one, I want to know if you've ever been on a trip when you're about to go through security and you realize that you have something in your carry-on that you can't actually bring on the plane and you have to either leave it or throw it out or whatever. Has that ever happened to you?
No. So
really?
I am extremely paranoid when I go on an airplane. I don't know if you know this about me, but I hate being in trouble. Like, I hate it. Hate it. Hate it when people are mad at me. I hate being in trouble. So I am like hyper aware of what's in my bag when I get on to a plane. So I have like whole organizational system before I pack like my carry-on and whatnot. But this one time, it was the day after prom. So from like grade 12, I went on a trip to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I still had my hair up from the night before.
So much hairspray.
So much hairspray, but so many bobby pins that my head set off the metal detector.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so they made me like take out my bobby pins while I was walking through. And the whole time I was like mortified. And I was like, never am I doing this again. I hate being in trouble.
That is so funny.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. Okay. So there's been like a bunch of times where I just realized last minute that I have a thing of sunscreen that's too big or something like that. And I hate having to throw them out or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one time I was flying home from India and I had like a ton of spices I bought and like dried red chilies. And for some reason, I thought I could bring them in my carry-on, which in retrospect is pretty dumb because they're food products.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want them to explode in my bag. I just brought them in my carry-on. They were not heavy at all. So I just threw them in my bag and then I had to throw them all out.
Oh no.
There were so many. And the chilies were for Jeff. And I was like, well, I bought you these really nice dried chilies, but they're in a garbage at the airport. So
it's like, sure
it
you did.
Such a bummer.
Oh, that is such a bummer. And I didn't realize that you couldn't bring spices on a plane.
So I think I was able to bring the cumin and the dry ones, but anything that was like the dried chilies, and I think there was some dried ginger as well. Anything that was a food product, like something that had
substance.
Yeah, it was in a fine powder.
Oh.
I know.
You'd think that they would be against the fine powders.
Yeah, no kidding. But it was those red chilies that I was like, no, not the chilies.
Oh, Dan once brought like pre-workout stuff on a plane and he put it in a Ziploc bag. And I was like, this looks like cocaine.
Oh my God. Okay. So I can really relate to this first story based off that red chili story because these guys went to extreme lengths to not have to throw something out or pay extra fees. Okay. So this first story is from The Independent by a journalist named Colin Drury. And it's titled, Men Suffer Mouth Ulcers After Eating 30 Kilograms of Oranges to Avoid Airport Fees.
What?
Yeah.
30 kilograms? That's wild.
I should convert that to pounds for
I was just wondering how many pounds that was.
Yeah, about 66 pounds. So that's a ton of oranges.
Oh my gosh.
So four men were on a business trip, and they were at the Kunming Changshui International Airport in Yunnan province in China, when they were faced with the decision to pay an extra 300 yuan, which is about $60 Canadian, to bring the oranges on the plane. And that's about 60 times the amount they had originally paid for the oranges. So they said, heck no. And they ate all the oranges, all 30 kilograms. It only took them about 20 to 30 minutes. And right after eating the oranges, they all developed mouth ulcers or cankers.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with a canker?
Unfortunately, yes. When I am highly stressed, I get them. Mm-hmm. I remember in my first undergrad degree, I was so stressed once. I think I counted like 8 in my mouth.
Oh my gosh.
And my roommates at the time were like, oh, you have to put salts in your mouth. I did the salt water thing. I just spit it out immediately because it was just like raw. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I get them when I'm really stressed.
Salt actually works, but it hurts so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, you're totally right. Cankers can be caused by stress, injury, over-aggressive brushing, and also from eating high volumes of foods that are a little bit more acidic, like tomatoes and oranges. So the moral of this first story is just don't eat 30 kilograms of oranges in 30 minutes.
A kilogram a minute. That is wild.
A kilogram, but between four of them. But it's still so many oranges.
Were they peeled beforehand? That's so confusing.
No, there's a video of them doing it. They're peeling.
Oh, there is.
Them. Yeah. So they're like peeling and eating.
And are they eating super quickly, although it's like as though it's like a competition, or is it like leisurely consuming these oranges? Also, was it not an option to throw the oranges away or give them to the customs agent?
I think they just didn't want to. I think it was like I don't know. They just didn't want to sacrifice this amazing deal they found on oranges. And they were like, well, we don't want to waste food. Apparently it went viral, but I could only find like still photos from the video.
Oh, so weird.
It's kind of weird. Yeah, I know.
Is it on TikTok? It's probably on TikTok.
It's probably on TikTok. Okay, let's go on to the second story.
All right.
Because I think this is so interesting. It's pretty cool. So from Bloomberg Green, we have an article titled Fake Meat Goes Beyond Burgers with Money for Printing Steaks. And this article was written by Agnieszka D'Souza and Ivan Levingston. And yes, you heard that headline correctly. Juicy top sirloin steaks hot off the 3D printer.
Love it.
So cool. So a company in Israel called Redefine Meat has just raised $29 million in funding to build a large-scale pilot factory and begin selling their 3D printed meat later this year. So we talked about lab-grown and cultured meat a couple episodes ago, and we had commented on how we felt the texture was really important and that if it was off, it could be like kind of off-putting.
Yep.
And also that in the cultured lab-grown meat, they can really only grow more homogenous types of meat like ground chicken or ground turkey, that kind of stuff. So Redefine Meat is taking these alt meat options to the next level by giving eaters the taste and texture experience that comes with eating a top-grade beef. So according to Forbes, Redefine uses plant-based materials. So it's actually 100% vegan.
It is?
This one is, yes.
Okay.
So the Redefine meat is 100% vegan. And so they use, for the ink, they use nutrients that are similar to what would actually be eaten by cows. Okay. So Forbes reported that the ink contains proteins from grains and legumes that are able to mimic the texture of muscle, and fats and other acids to duplicate the juicy flavor, the blood structure, and the color of the actual meat.
I'm so confused.
Right?
So it's not meat at all.
It is not meat. It's 100% vegan. And you can scroll down to that first picture.
Yeah.
That's taken from the Redefined Meat Instagram.
Looks like a pork chop.
And so I'm assuming that's their steak. And you can see it's got marbling.
It does.
Like, I would never confuse that with like a real steak, I don't think, but it looks appetizing. Like, it's got good browning. It's got marbling.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a steak.
It kind of looks more like a pork chop or like a piece of salmon to me. But I would eat it.
I would eat it too. Absolutely.
Like, what is with this ridiculous, like, side, like the side plating?
I know. I kind of laughed at the food photography too.
We need more veggies on that plate.
Yeah, it's not a balanced plate, but I think the steak looks pretty legit and I would absolutely try it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, but I know why you're curious about the fact that it's 100% vegan. So there's another company, and Israel is really leading the charge here because they actually have the highest percentage of vegans and vegetarian worldwide. So about almost 8%, between 5 and 8% of their population is vegan or vegetarian. So another Israeli company called Aleph Farms also unveiled their 3D printed ribeye just last week. So Aleph Farms uses a similar bioprinting technique, but they use real cow cells to create a ribeye that looks pretty darn close to the real thing, I think. And if you scroll down to the second picture, both of these will be on our Instagram, but this, I think, at least it's just the sheen on it and like the less perfect structure kind of looks more like a real piece of meat to me.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe you'll say this or mention this, but do they just take individual cells and duplicate them? Or do they take, like, I don't know how 3D printing works really, but do they take like a whole piece of meat and duplicate that?
They take just cells.
Just cells. So it's a process.
So they isolate cells from a healthy cow without slaughtering the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they nurture the cells in a controlled, safe, and clean environment, and the cells are able to grow and form tissues in a process similar to tissue regeneration.
So it is, I mean, it's similar to lab-grown meat in that no animal needs to die in order for us to eat it.
Yes.
Okay.
But it is still technically an animal product.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
According to the Aleph Farms website, it only takes about 3 to 4 weeks to grow or print a steak versus 2 years of growth for a classic steak, which typically to grow a cow to the point where you'd be ready to slaughter it, it usually takes between 30 and 42 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
3 to 4 weeks.
Speeding up the process.
Wow.
For one steak. And I still have a lot of questions. The Aleph Farms website isn't super detailed about their process because it seems, you know, they're doing it like tissue regeneration. So it seems like there is an element of the cultured meat that we talked about in the other episode.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also using a printer.
Right.
To build it layer by layer to get that structure.
Yeah. I want to see a time lapse over the 3 to 4 weeks of this being created.
Totally. I think it's so cool, though. I think this is something to definitely keep your eyes on. So what would you rather try? 3D printed meat or a lab-grown meat?
I'll try them both.
Yeah, okay.
I would like to try them both to see what the difference is in texture and taste and all that stuff is between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. And vegan version or real version?
I would try both, yeah.
Yeah.
I know I've mentioned before that I don't eat like animals with hooves, but again, I'm not opposed to trying like anything.
I think it's so cool. I would absolutely try.
Yeah, same here.
I'm just looking at these pictures again and comparing them.
Yeah, the sides on both these plates are
weak. I know. At least the second one has one piece of rapini.
One piece of rapini, and it looks like a little spoonful of squash.
Yeah, or sweet potato mash or something like that. It's good. Maybe they're looking to hire a food photographer.
Well, I'm available.
Yeah, we're both available. Okay, so that's it for this week. Again, it was kind of a slow week for food news, but I think, I mean, the 3D printing one is so cool, and I'm definitely going to keep my eyes on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of strides being made in the, I guess, animal welfare, meat production kind of biz.
Yep, definitely, because it's an industry that needs to evolve.
Clearly.
All right, that is it for Extra Cheese this week. And we'll see you next week with another full episode of Dietetics After Dark.
Bye.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed listening to Extra Cheese. If you have any topic ideas for future episodes, shoot us an email at dietetics.afterdark@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at dietetics.afterdark. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. This podcast is a labor of love, and your support will help other true crime and food lovers find our podcast. Stay tuned for new episodes of Dietetics After Dark every second Monday and Extra Cheese every second Thursday. This episode was edited and mixed by Earworm Radio. If you're in need of podcast support, you can find them on Instagram at EWRadio or online at earwormradio.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.